Good morning. I'm Jerry Agar. So do you have all of the insurance that you might want to have? People hate having to pay for insurance because it's there when something goes wrong, and then nothing goes wrong, and you got to pay again this year. And nothing would, and you can't say, you know what, just let it ride. They won't let you do that. You got to pay again. So we do have some antipathy toward insurance unless we need it. And joining me now to talk about this, Diane Chaban. She's an investment and wealth advisor at RBC Dominion Securities. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good to have you. So people are used to a certain amount of insurance. If you have a car, you have insurance on the car. You're kind of forced into it. And we're just used to it. It's part of the deal.
Right.
And if you own a home, then you'll have some form of insurance on that, mortgage insurance, contents insurance, that kind of stuff. But insurance on you, life insurance.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's something a lot of people just don't bother with?
Yeah, not that they don't bother with it, but perhaps they don't understand why they need it. And there are so many different types of life insurance that it can also get a little bit overwhelming. So understanding where to start and what risks need to be covered are very important.
Sure, but when people look at their own budgets, they think, oh, you know, that seems like a waste.
Yeah, that's. I mean, the concept of insurance, particularly term insurance, is that it is an expense, and hopefully you don't need it, because if you do, it means you've kicked the bucket, right?
So, yeah.
So, you know, you want to insure your life when the risk of you passing away is going to be putting someone else in a financial predicament. So
you're really insuring for someone
that's
else.
Right. Yes. So let's say, you know, you're married and you've got a kid or two and you've got a mortgage and whatnot, and you think, okay, well, if I pass away, then you know, my family really relies on my income. So I pass away, they're going to have a hard time paying off the mortgage. They're going to have a hard time keeping up their day-to-day living. So not only have they lost, you know, their wife and mother, which is already a very, like, sad thing to have to go through, now they're going to have to sell the house, uproot the kids. Like, it's just like this domino effect of things that are going to be terrible. So if I can replace my income replacement, at least for like a 10-year period, and pay off debts like the mortgage as a death benefit for the policy to pay out if I die, then at least the rest of their life remains uninterrupted.
This is what causes some people to say, I'm worth more dead than alive.
That's true. Yes, I have calculated that, and I certainly am.
Yeah. And all kinds of murder mystery stories are written around that, but let's not get into the conspiracy theories here. It's a good thing to do for your family.
Yes.
Now, many people will have at least some form of this through work.
Yes, that's right. So definitely look into the type of coverage that you have through work now, because insurance and credit are the two things I always say to clients. You need to make sure you have the right insurance coverage and the right credit facilities in place before you need them.
Okay.
You might not need some credit right now, but if something happens down the road and you need access, well, now it's too late. You're not going to get approved, or the rate's going to be too high. Same thing with insurance. You might think to yourself, hey, I'm single. I'm not even married. I don't have kids. Like, who cares? No one's going to be left in a pickle if I die. But you intend to one day get married and have kids. So do your future self a favor. Get insured for that insurance now while you're young and while you're healthy. It will be a lot cheaper, too, because an insurance company likes you better yesterday than they're going to like you tomorrow.
Yes.
And so get that in place just before you need it. It just is such an easier, more economical process to go through when you're doing it proactively. And so with life insurance, there's two types. There's term insurance, and then there's whole life insurance, which is considered more of an asset. We could talk about that
later.
Okay,
let's do these one at a time here.
Sure.
Term insurance is basically you pay the policy, it's good until the next policy's due, and if you don't pay it, you're uninsured. And so every year or whatever it is, you're basically buying for the next term.
Yeah. So the terms are, there are different types of terms you can get, but the most common are term 10 or term 20. So a term 20 is probably most common, because you think to yourself, okay, if I die within the next 20 years, it's still going to be a risk for my family. You can usually coincide that with, by that point, my kids will be grown. Hopefully, they're fully functioning adults on their own, or my mortgage is gone, right? And so within that 20-year period, the insurance company will essentially, most of them, guarantee your premium is not going to increase within that 20-year period. And so you're covered. If you die within 20 years, an X number amount of dollars is going to be paid out, as long as you keep paying your premiums on time, every month or annually.
Yeah.
Better to set it up annually. It's
okay.
Harder to miss a payment that way.
Okay.
And then you, after the 20 years, if you're still alive, they're like, hey, congrats, you're still alive. We can extend you for another 20 years, but guess what? The premium's going to be like 20 times higher. Like,
seriously?
It skyrockets.
That much? You're more of a risk, obviously.
You're more of a risk at this point. Yeah. What 99% of people do is they say, no thanks, I'm just going to requalify, and then it'll be a significantly lower rate,
okay,
but not lower than what you had 20 years ago. You're younger and healthier then. You're just going to get whatever you qualify for at that future time. What they're not necessarily banking on happening, but the only reason you would accept the significantly higher rate at that point is something's happened and you're now uninsurable and you want to keep some sort of insurance coverage in place.
So then there's also another type, though, that is an investment.
That's right. So once you have essentially gotten past the concept of, okay, well, now there's a risk if I die, it's a more money, more problems sort of product in where we consider whole life insurance or universal life insurance. And so now let's say you've gotten to a point where you've done a financial plan with your advisor and we've shown you that there's a certain amount of money that you're not even going to spend while you're alive. And you're probably going to leave it behind for your kids anyway. You can roll it into an insurance policy, which then is an investment.
Okay.
And it grows tax deferred while you're alive, meaning now you're no longer paying taxes on the growth, which you otherwise would have been. And then when you pass away, it goes tax deferred as a tax-free lump sum payment to your kids. So it's just a way to get more money to them. You know, who do you love more than the CRA? Bunch of people, I assume. So if you can leave less to them, if you can leave a little bit less to them and more for your kids or charity or whoever you love, then that's the type of estate planning that we can do to reduce taxes from an estate planning perspective.
There isn't a really good formula at RBC where I could work it out where, like, when I spend the last dollar, I die.
Yeah, well, you can do that with planning, absolutely.
No,
yeah.
No, but can you figure out when I'm going to die?
Yeah.
Because that's how I want to work it out. Yeah. The kids can earn their own money. I put them through school.
Yeah, well, we used to assume everyone died at 90, but now we're upping it to 100 because people are living longer, right? And
yeah.
We don't want to plan to 90, have you live another 10 years and run out. That's one of the biggest pieces of doing a financial plan.
When you're doing a long-term financial plan, yeah, you literally actually say, we're going to the triple digits here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're starting to get there because I've got two clients that are in their late 90s.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, well, my mother-in-law is 96,
yeah,
and she's still wheeling right along.
Yeah.
And I think it was either her mother or her mother-in-law lived to 101.
Yep.
And it used to be almost unheard of. And
yeah,
and year by year, the life expectancy,
yep,
goes up.
Yeah, so you have to plan for that because also with living longer, it means keeping up with inflation and higher health costs too, which can be very expensive.
Diane Chaban, she's an investment and wealth advisor at RBC Dominion Securities. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.